Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And we're very pleased to have with us today State Representative Ray Felder from District Number 26, which happens to be the greater Metro Fort Mill area. She's with us today on our Straight Talk program. And just a little sidebar, I tell you what, they are giving shots left and right out at the Rock Hill Piedmont Medical Center Community Vaccination Clinic. Whew! They're going to put, I think what I just heard, is they're going to do 1,000 arms today. They've been doing 1,000 arms today, Wednesday, Thursday, and today, Friday. They just crossed over 17,000 shots that they have given. So we're getting the vaccine out there, which is good. And there are other sites that are popping up. One in Fort Mill here
just popped up. Join with Harris Teeter and have a one-day vaccine clinic in Fort Mill. And one thing, just to give a shout out to the vaccine clinic that they're operating in Rock Hill with Piedmont Medical and the City of Rock Hill. On the City of Rock Hill's website, they are still looking for donations, not only monetary donations to try to, you know, help with the expense of running this, but also specific items, hand sanitizer, individually wrapped snacks, this kind of thing. So if anyone listening today, you know, has it within their heart to maybe look on that website and see if they can be a small part of the solution.
You're absolutely right. And the Chamber of Commerce is kind of responsible for all this hospitality stuff. And just to give an example, I mean, Substation 2 feeds them on Fridays. They just took out 120 box lunches out there.
Wow.
That's a lot of volunteers. They give them a nice discount and what have you, as all the other local restaurants are doing. But it takes money.
It does.
It takes money when you're feeding an army like that. And these people are giving a full day of their time.
They are.
The least we can do is buy them a sandwich.
Exactly. And some of these people are giving a full day of their time, and they are very highly qualified medical professionals.
Yep.
And so to have lunch for them seems to be a small token of appreciation.
I mean, if you're doing your bills this weekend and you got an extra $20 or something, send it into the chamber.
Send it.
Okay, Ray, how are you doing?
We're doing good. It's hard to believe it's already March.
Thank God the weather is improving.
Yes.
Have you had enough rain?
Yes, we've. But now the sad thing is, I keep telling my husband, my yard is like a mud hole right now. You walk across the grass and, you know, you squish, squish, squish. But come July and August, we'll be saying, sure wish we could have saved that water.
Yeah, well, it's always the case. So I'm just interested, you know, with all this pandemic stuff that's going on, been part of our lives for a whole year. This last few months of your session, which started in January, has it really been a whole lot different than a pre-COVID year?
Oh, very different. Very different. We're experiencing the same thing that everyone else was, social distancing. We're having to really work hard to schedule meetings so we can use larger rooms. We're doing a lot of teleconference for people to testify at committee instead of actually coming in person. We've got them on a Zoom screen. So everything there has changed. We're not having group meals anymore. Definitely a different environment. Trying to keep the limit down as to how many people or in the plot building or in the state house, just trying to keep everybody safe.
So how do you, as a legislator, go about negotiating with your peers across the aisle when you can't get together?
Yeah, you have to schedule a room large enough for how many, and you have to socially distance. And it is difficult. It is much more difficult.
Mm. Well, hopefully this will pass, and by the next session, we'll be back to normal. We certainly are moving in that direction.
We are.
Do you get concerned at all that when you hear the news about states like Colorado and Texas fully opening up, taking away, you know, all the restrictions, that they might be doing it too soon, or we might do it too soon here in South Carolina?
Well, I get really concerned about when are we going to know for sure? I mean, we know the vaccine is helping. We know the numbers are down. We know just by wearing masks, our flu numbers are way down. That has helped. But I'm very concerned as to this coming fall, after everyone has had that initial vaccination, is there going to be a round two?
Well, when you have the national statistics, which are basically predicting 40% of America, my words, not yours, are going to be stupid enough not to take this vaccine, then, yeah, you raise an interesting point.
Yeah, I worry because the actual virus strand seems to be changing. Well, if you have enough people that are not vaccinated, will it explode again? Because the strand is so different.
Yeah, we've seen the variants already pop up out there. Well, this, you know, it's like people who don't take a flu shot. It's been available for generations out there.
Generations now, yeah.
All you have to do is get sick one time with the flu, and you'll realize, I think I'm going to take that flu shot from there on out.
Well, and I think that's going to be true with COVID, too. If you know someone close to you that had COVID and had a difficult time, I think you'll rethink. We're fortunate. Many people have COVID, don't even know they have it.
Yeah,
they're totally
right.
Asymptomatic. Other people, it's just like a really bad flu. But other people end up in the hospital. And that is a whole different situation. And we don't know the long-term effects of that serious, hard treatments some patients have to go through.
We're seeing more and more of this. I mean, once you've recovered from COVID, have you really recovered from COVID?
Yes, you know, have you really?
Mentally and all this other stuff. You know, we've got, I've said this on the air a dozen times, we've had over 80 million people in America get vaccinated, either one shot, two shots, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I haven't heard about anybody dying.
Yeah.
I heard some sore arms and maybe some people with some chills.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you do this thing? I don't know. We could spend the whole half hour talking about
that.
So let's move on to something that's more relatable to all of us.
All right.
And I know you're onto this, and I heard it come up at a county council retreat here a couple of weekends ago, and that's that magic five-letter word called trash.
Trash.
It's something that's you want to see something done about.
I do. I'm really pushing this. And I understand that we are under a pandemic. But when you
What has that got to do with trash?
Because I think people are eating in their cars more.
So,
because they're not going into restaurants. And they're being very irresponsible with that trash.
Okay.
And it is just littering our roadways. If you come into South Carolina, there at Carowinds Boulevard, the big, beautiful Welcome to South Carolina sign, all of a sudden you feel like you're at a landfill. There's so much trash and debris along I-77. I've had several constituents reach out to me, so I took the time to really try to figure out why is it this bad? Well, since COVID, our prisoners have not picked up trash since last March. So we've gone a year now without a lot of those details out there working to pick up trash. You know, before you could put 12 people in a van and take them out to the interstate and let them pick up trash. Well, now with COVID, putting 12 people in a van is a little different situation. And then you've got to have supervision. And that's a difficult now that we're so short at the Department of Corrections with actual workers. So I understand the Department of Corrections dilemma, and I understand SCDOT's dilemma in having the money and the manpower. But we're going to start cutting grass in South Carolina in the very near future with the sunshine that we're seeing today. And that is just going to multiply the problem. So I have reached out to county council. I've reached out to our local law enforcement. I've reached out to the state. I actually had an opportunity to sit down and talk with the lieutenant governor. Palmetto Pride has a very informative website, palmettopride.org, And a decade ago, we did a lot of public service announcements about littering and about the fact that we had the 1-877-7-LITTER phone number, that if you saw someone littering, you could report them. You can even go online now with palmettopride.org and report someone. I understand that law enforcement can't fix this problem alone. It's going to take all of us. But I would implore York County, we are the gateway to South Carolina when you're coming down 77. And we need to show some pride and keep our trash within our vehicles.
You know, we lost the Work Release Center here on Ogden Road, which is where a lot of those people came that were picking up the trash. So yeah. You're right. We don't have that proximity. But, you know, I sit here and I think about, and I don't know for sure, but you take a look at the Moss Justice Center. They got plenty of people up there. Right. And while you may not be able to put 12 people in a van, you could put two or three.
You could put two or three. Exactly. Right? My thoughts exactly.
I just, you know.
But we have to get a handle on this.
Well, I don't think anybody thinks it's that big a deal, except you and Tom Audette.
I think it's a – all you have to do is get on any interstate in this state, and you see trash. I mean, and it's multiplied. We've got to do a better job. And I think York County, at one time, we had a great public emphasis on Adopt a Highway, Palmetto Pride, keeping people organized. And I think we've let that slip with so many other things.
I will tell you this. When I attended the retreat for the county council here a couple of weeks ago, this topic came up. And they realized that they need to get some more people involved with this thing, come up with a better system. So I don't want to leave the impression that they're not trying to figure out how to deal with this. But you're right. You're spot on. I always remember, this is terrible to say, but former South Carolina, University of South Carolina head football coach Lou Holtz used to say, you know, South Carolinians got the cleanest cars in America. Because they throw all their trash outside.
Exactly. And I just think maybe we're not emphasizing the long-term effect of that as well as we did at one time.
Well, there's that old adage, you know, whether you like it or not, people do judge a book by its cover.
Yes.
And if our cover is litter all up and down the roads, you know,
that's
not
exactly
good.
Right.
That's not good.
It is not good.
But I do think, and I've had a number of conversations over the years with law enforcement. You know, they don't want to get into the citation business. You know, they've got enough on their hands. I got that, but if not them, who?
That's right. If not them, who? And if we don't do a really good job with educating our young people and trying to change those habits, this is only going to get worse. I mean, it's amazing to me that people throw trash and old appliances and old tires and old couches. I mean, we've got to come up with a better way.
You know, I remember the speeding ticket I got 7, 8, 9 years ago going through a little small town in South Carolina. It was Branchville. Speed limit was 30. I was going like 34, right? I got nailed. It was, I don't know, $75 ticket or some crazy thing like that. And guess what? When I go through Branchville now,
you slow down.
I am at 29 miles an
hour. Exactly.
Right? So my point is, you got to do is nail a few people. Here's $25. Here's $50. Here's the fine. And they're going to think twice before they chuck that thing out the window.
Exactly. So. You know, we did a really good job with the public service on click it or ticket.
Yep.
We're trying to do the seatbelt thing.
Right.
We have got to come up with a way to stop this trash. I mean, it's horrible.
Well, I would think with all the brain power and with all the money that's down in Columbia, that somebody can figure this out.
We have
This
to
is not rocket science, right?
No, it's not.
We're not building highways and bridges. We're talking about trash.
Right.
All right.
But those bridges and highways, of course, they take money to build. But destroying them by throwing trash out of car windows is the most irresponsible thing we can do.
So, half my show is gone, and I haven't asked you one thing I want to talk about.
Sorry.
That's all right.
There's so much to talk about.
I'm on the same bandwagon, but we have to take our mid-program break and remind everybody that they are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, which I might add is hopping today. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. Our program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Caporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, how do they do this magical thing they do here at Substation 2? Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. I think I got a chorus now. Are we ready now? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Now, don't be afraid next time. Get on board. Get on board. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Charlie, what's new with Substation 2?
That's easy. We're bringing back our delicious corned beef sandwich. It's lean, perfectly seasoned, sliced fresh to order, and garden just the way you like.
Don't miss this limited time offer at Substation 2.
Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to andersongriggs.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
These days, there are plenty of ways to stay connected to the internet. Laptops, phones, tablets, games, you name it. But the more devices you use in your home, the tougher it is to get a strong, consistent Wi-Fi signal. Caporium's premium Wi-Fi kit adds multiple Wi-Fi access points throughout your home, eliminating dead zones and interference, while spreading your signal more evenly so you can enjoy a better online experience. Right now, get our premium Wi-Fi for only $9.99 per month. Premium Wi-Fi from Caporium. Connect your whole home.
My concern is let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attack, stroke. Those things are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. State Representative Ray Felder is with us from District Number 26, a job she's had for almost, not quite, 10 years.
Right.
We're not going to talk about trash anymore. Go back and listen to it. I do want to ask you, I know one of the things that's getting back on track is the whole issue of getting more money into the pockets of teachers. You all had agreed to a multiple-year plan, a little bit every year, to get them above the national average. And that got sidetracked because of COVID and the whole, you know, drop in sales tax revenue, everything. Okay, so you got that back on track. But my question is this. As hard as you're going to work to get it back above the national average, is above the national average good enough anymore for what you're trying to do? I've asked this question. I know you've heard it before. We are attracting in South Carolina the biggest and the best in the way of industries, the Boeings and the BMWs and the Volvos and the rest of them. They want a very, very skilled workforce. Now, we all know about the excellence of Fort Mill schools. I got that.
Yes.
Well, we got a whole state.
We do. We have a state that's 677 teachers short.
Yeah, okay.
In March.
So you are in a competitive situation. You need to have teachers in the classrooms.
Right.
What you are offering in the way of compensation ain't enough to attract people there. And I might add, it's the same thing true for law enforcement. Sit here with Kevin Tolson or sit here with Chris Watts, and they'll tell you they're 20 officers apiece short right now. So with all this attention given to everything else in South Carolina, why, as in somebody said, the national average ain't good enough anymore, guys?
Mm-hmm. It's not. Well, I think it's because we're going to do everything we can, and you've got to have a goal. And our goal is to get our teachers above the national average. But we've also got to remember that law enforcement. We've got to remember that Department of Corrections. And last year with COVID, I think we took a very responsible approach and said, let's not spend it if we don't have it, because we're not sure what's going to happen.
Amen. I agree with that.
And this year, we're doing the same thing with budget number one. We're being very cautious. We're not going to spend it if we don't have it. After we get state income tax revenues in, and we kind of get through second quarter, look at it again. We're hoping that those revenues will be there. We're hoping that even with some assistance from the federal government toward the states, that we're going to be able to go back and do more.
But, well, I still raise the question. I'm not the Speaker of the House, and I'm not the Senate President Pro Tem, and I'm not the governor. But, you know, I keep thinking about good old Winston Churchill, who always said sometimes it's not good enough to do our best. Sometimes we must do what is required.
Right.
And if you're 677 teachers short, I'm not guessing that getting to the national average is good enough. Not in today's world.
Not in today's world. We definitely have to pay our teachers more, and we also have to go back and instill the professionalism of that career. You know,
there's
a lot.
Same thing is true with the police. I mean, policemen have been vilified by all this mess that's happened here since the George Floyd situation up there in Minneapolis. I mean, it's just been awful. They have portrayed every police officer as awful, which is not the case.
It's not the case at all. It is not.
And for places like up in Minnesota where they defunded the police, guess what they're doing?
Yes.
Putting another $1.5 to $2 million in there trying to attract police to come back. Okay.
Exactly, because that is a core function of government, you know, and we've got to take responsibility for that.
Okay, redistricting.
Yes, that's
have we grown as a state or what? We're over 5 million people right now.
Yes,
and I think we've probably got 1 million of them up in Fort Mill.
Exactly, 1 million live in Fort Mill. I'm sure of it.
Why not? But this process, in terms of getting all the numbers from the demographer. He gets them from the Census Bureau, then the demographer goes to work on the maps.
Correct.
That process has been slowed down because the Census Bureau hasn't got all their act together yet.
Correct. Due to COVID, they've delayed releasing their numbers. Typically, we have those numbers toward the end of March, or at least that's the way it was 10 years ago. However, now that the census, due to COVID, they're now projecting we'll have those numbers in June. I feel like that may get delayed a little bit more. So I'm sure the General Assembly will go back into session this fall and deal with redistricting and moving those lines. And for the listeners out there, that's lines for everything. That's congressional seats. That is House Senate seats, House of Representatives seats, your county council, your school boards, everything shifts.
And what's going to happen is you will end up representing more people than you do now.
Oh, yes.
Every district is going to have more. And the lines will change.
Yes. 10 years ago, a district had about 33, 34,000 people. I think now we're going to look at the 124 districts in the House of Representatives having about 40,000 people.
So that process will get started.
Yes.
Do you think that for your county, that we might have enough population for two full-time, when I say two full-time, I mean senators 100% from New York. I don't know how you put it.
Yeah, I don't know how you put it either.
Whatever.
Yeah, we definitely, I think, are going to have the population there to do it. It's going to be a matter of where the lines are.
All right. So add to that, and I know where you are on this. Were you glad to see the heartbeat bill? put into business?
Very approved. Well, the governor has signed it. Of course, the courts are now going to make that decision for us. And whether that will be quickly or that will be, you know, we're still waiting in Fort Mill for the courts to make the decision on the school impact fee. So my confidence in the court making a decision in any timely manner is somewhat of a dream.
Oh, by the way, let's do a little sidebar. While that lawsuit has been undergoing about the impact fee in Fort Mill, the fees have been collected, been put in escrow, and I think the last time I heard it was well over $30 million, $35 and $40 million
probably
by now.
$40.
So for all those who thought that the impact fee would kill growth in Fort Mill,
it did not slow it down. I mean, all we plant is rooftops in Fort Mill, and they are springing up everywhere.
Thank God your county bought 2,000 acres across the river from Fort Mill and protecting it for this beautiful park that is starting to take shape called Riverbend.
Yes. Woo-hoo. Yes. Well, that is going to be a jewel. I mean, not that we totally enjoy the Anne Springs Close Greenway, because it's just 1,600 acres of land. It's a wonderful opportunity for the Fort Mill area and the York County. But I think Riverbend is going to be another huge asset that will help us with tourism.
Well, in fact, the Anne Springs Close Greenway is almost getting overpopulated in terms of use.
Yes.
And they're very interested in seeing Riverbend come online.
Yes.
That's amazing. All right, we don't have a whole lot of time left, so let me ask you this. Are we going to get Santee Cooper resolved this year?
Santee Cooper, again, I think we're going to end up in the court system with that as unfortunately.
Jeez.
You know, that's going to be a long, drawn-out. I'm pleased, though, that just the discussion around Santee Cooper, the discussion around the nuclear reactors not being productive, has corrected other problems in the system as well.
I did not realize until I had your counterpart, State Representative Randy Ligon, on here the other day, that South Carolina is only one of five states, didn't know this, that does not have the open carry law. In
yes.
other words, if you got a CWP permit, you have to be concealed here. But in other states, 45 other states, you're allowed to open carry.
Open carry, yes.
What do you think about that?
Well, we're definitely going to have that legislation come before us. It has now passed a subcommittee. I think that's something we're going to address this year. As long as there's training involved and we know they've done a background check, I think the votes will be there to pass that legislation.
Does that include you?
Yes.
All right. Okay. So what else do you think big is going to come up this year?
I think this one of the other big topics I think we're going to deal with this year after we get through the budget, because, of course, that is a very time-consuming process. But I think we're going to continue to look at education, improving outcomes for our children. This past year has been detrimental for so many of our young families whose children did not have any face-to-face educational instruction.
And boy, the studies and the research on the impact on young kids,
yes.
on veterans,
yes.
and all these people who have been, you know, sequestered at home, and they lose their socialization, that is not good.
It is.
So let's get back to school. Let's get back into the classroom. State Representative Ray Felder, thank you so much for being with us today on our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, as we all know, fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. The magical way we do it is pretty clear. Ray and I will tell everybody quietly. Are we ready? One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, 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 garden.
Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.